Take your Bibles and open to Acts chapter 2. This is going to be the second message dealing with the introduction to the gifts of the Spirit. Same passage that we've been looking at for several Sundays now, and probably will be for a number more. Chapter 2, beginning with verse 1. And when the day of Pentecost arrived, they were all together in one place. And suddenly there came from heaven a sound like a mighty rushing wind, and it filled the entire house where they were sitting. And divided tongues as of fire appeared to them and rested on each one of them, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. In review, and this review from last week is going to be very abbreviated. There's a lot that I'm not going to talk about, and hopefully here in the next couple of weeks I'll get the CD out, so if you missed that, you can do that, and I really encourage you to catch up on these. In verse 4, we are introduced for the very first time in the New Testament to something that is later identified as a spiritual gift. Look there with me again in verse 4. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Now, later we are going to talk about that particular phenomenon, that particular spiritual gift. But tonight we're finishing up talking about an introduction to spiritual gifts, finding out what they are and why God gave them to us and how that they are to be used. And we learned, of course, last week that, you know, if you're one of God's children, then you're a gifted child, because God has given to all genuine believers spiritual gifts. Now, a spiritual gift is a God-given enablement that is granted to every Christian through which the Holy Spirit supernaturally ministers to the body of Christ. And we talked about the division of the gifts, and that was that long outline I gave you. I'm just going to give you two major points tonight, just to look back on that, just to, in the way of review. We saw, number one, that there were temporary sign gifts. And those temporary sign gifts are gifts that were never intended to be ongoing gifts used in the church. And we'll talk more about that later. I'll explain why I say that. But those gifts are miracles, healing, tongues, and interpretation of tongues. And those are what we refer to as temporary sign gifts. And we see them used in the book of Acts. And as we encounter these, we're going to stop and talk about them. And then the second major division there that we pointed out was the permanent service gifts. And I'm not going to go back and list all of those again. We did last week. There's a number of them we can find in Scripture, and I'll mention some as we're working through this text tonight. The division of the gifts. And then we talked about the description of the gifts. And we saw that, first of all, they are spiritual gifts. And what that means is that they are not spendable income, okay? And they're not solid assets. They are spiritual enablements, all right? They are gifts that are spiritual in nature and not physical. And then we saw that, number two, they are supernatural gifts because they are imparted by the Spirit of God. Spiritual gifts are not just natural talents, okay? Remember the definition. A spiritual gift is a God-given enablement that is granted to every Christian through which the Holy Spirit supernaturally ministers to the body of Christ. And so a spiritual gift is not a natural talent, not a learned ability. A spiritual gift's not the ability to cook for the church dinner. It's not it's not the ability to quill or to run a chainsaw for the disaster relief team. Lost people can do those things. That's not what a spiritual gift is. A spiritual gift is a supernatural enablement to serve the Lord and the church effectively in a certain capacity. When I got saved, I was the most unlikely person in the world to be a pastor and a teacher. All right? I don't have time to tell you all about that, but if you had met me then, you would never have guessed that God was going to call me to preach, to write, to be a pastor. But God saved me. God gifted me. He enabled me. He helped me get an education, and so he gave me those gifts. A person with a gift, with the gift of giving, which is a spiritual gift. A person with the gift of giving before they got saved may have been a very greedy person. A person who can run a large corporation in the secular world may have the gift of service and work alongside or even under the leadership of an employee, one of his employees in the church. That's how these gifts work. I have a friend who pastored a church near a military base, and a man came in and asked where the officer's class met, and my friend was quick to explain that at the foot of the cross we're all equal, the ground's level, and that there is no enlisted class. There was no enlisted class or officer's class. I knew a guy who was a musician. I didn't know him. I was acquainted with him. He was a musician, and he played trumpet in nightclubs. He got saved. God called him to preach, and with really no additional training, he ended up pastoring one of the largest churches in the Southern Baptist Convention with thousands of members and hundreds of staff people. How is that possible? Because he was supernaturally gifted to do those things. Also, another thing that we saw last week is that spiritual gifts are not a sign of spirituality. Because every Christian has spiritual gifts. You may not have discovered them yet. They may be undiscovered. They may be undeveloped. They may be unused. But you have one if you're a Christian. All genuine believers have spiritual gifts. God imparts them to us at the moment that we are saved. Spiritual gifts are not just for pastors and missionaries. They're not just for some special elite class of Christian, because there is no such thing, by the way. There is no special elite class of Christian. And also, another thing that we talked about last week, and it was, I was so glad Lou expounded on the fruit of the Spirit this morning. It was great, because last week we talked about that, and we saw that, you know, you don't confuse the gifts of the Spirit with the fruit of the Spirit. Gifts of the Spirit are different. Galatians 5, 22 and 23. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness or humility, and self-control. That's out of the New International Version. I happened to memorize that verse years and years ago out of that translation, and so I've always quoted it out of that. But the fruit of the Spirit are the traits that characterize the life, a life that is filled with the Holy Spirit. And we learned that the filling of the Spirit is when my life is yielded completely to the Spirit of God. And a believer that is filled with the Holy Spirit will manifest the fruit of the Spirit. But don't confuse the two. And then we saw that not only are these spiritual gifts, not only are they supernatural gifts, but we saw that they are service gifts. Turn over to 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and just keep a bookmark there or something, because we're going to spend a lot of time in 1 Corinthians 12 tonight, all right? That's going to be the primary text that we're going to be using tonight is 1 Corinthians chapter 12. And right now, at this point, look at 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 7. 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 7. Paul writes there, "Now to each one the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good," or your translation may say the good of the whole. "The gifts of the Spirit are never for self-edification, but are for the body," the edification of the body, the edification of the church. Ephesians chapter 4 says, "But to each one of us, grace has been given as Christ apportioned it to prepare God's people for works of service so that the body of Christ may be built up." That's why we have been gifted. That's why we've been equipped, is in order to build up the church, the body of Christ. 1 Corinthians chapter 14 and verse 12 says, "So it is with you, since you are eager to have spiritual gifts, try to excel in gifts that build up the church." And so spiritual gifts are not for individual, not for personal, for self-edification, but for the edification of the body. And the reason is, the way that happens is because spiritual gifts affect the way that we serve. Spiritual gifts, you'll remember, determine how we fit into the body and how we should serve and what areas of ministry that God has equipped us for. And He has, that is, equipped us all. Okay? And we talked about that. God, you know, it's not just Lou and I that are called to the ministry. Every Christian is called to minister. Every Christian is called to minister in one way or another. And not only are you called, but you're equipped, because God has given you spiritual gifts in order to help you be able to do whatever it is that God has for you to do. And so God designed the gifts of the Spirit to empower the ministry of the church. That's why He gave us those gifts. That's what they're for. And if those gifts are not being used, then another thing that we saw is that the church is crippled and suffers. So that's what we talked about last week. So let's pick up there and let's go on. We saw that they are spiritual gifts. We saw that they are supernatural gifts. We saw that they are service gifts. Number four, they are sovereign gifts. All right? They are sovereign gifts. Look with me in 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 11. 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 11. "All these are the work of one and the same Spirit, and He gives them to each one just as He determines." Folks, don't ever lose sight of that. God decides what gifts are given to whom, all right? We don't get to pick. We don't get to decide. They are sovereign gifts. They are determined by the sovereign will of God. You can't just pick the gift that you want. You can't seek a gift. You can never somehow obtain a gift that that God has not given you. If you are a Christian and you don't already have the gift of discernment, for instance, you never will. All right? So just don't worry about it. If God hasn't given it to you, you're not going to get it by asking for it, by praying for it, by seeking for it. God gives the gift of the Spirit to us as He sovereignly determines. And we do have gift mongers in the church today, just like they did in the first century, in the Corinthian church particularly, who are not satisfied with the gifts that God has given them, and they want other gifts. In the Corinthian church, people wanted to have these outward gifts. There are people like that. Many are not satisfied with service gifts that are unseen, and they want gifts that they think they can use to draw attention to themselves. They might not admit that, but that's why they want them. Now, you might have a certain gift and not know it. You have to discover it and to develop it, but God sovereignly distributes spiritual gifts according to His will and not to ours. Also, because the gifts are sovereign, they will always unite the body. Now, folks, I just want to stress that. Because the gifts are sovereign, they will always unite the body. Look there in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 13. The first part of that, we're going to look at again in just a second. "For we were all baptized by one Spirit into one body." That is, we are a unit. And we'll talk more about that here in a little bit. But right now, I want you to understand that genuine spiritual gifts always bring blessing and unity. And whenever a so-called spiritual gift brings division and disruption, it is not genuine, but a counterfeit. You say, well, why would that happen? Does Satan counterfeit spiritual gifts? Yeah, you bet he does. He counterfeits everything that God has done. He corrupts everything. And there are many, many counterfeit spiritual gifts being manifested in the world. Cults manifest so-called spiritual gifts. And sadly, some otherwise legitimate churches manifest some counterfeit spiritual gifts as well, and we'll talk about that more later. Now, there's something else that these gifts are. They are spiritual gifts. They are supernatural gifts. They are service gifts. They are sovereign gifts. And they are salvation gifts. Look in 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 13 again. For we were all baptized by one Spirit into one body, whether Jews or Greeks, slave or free, and we were all given one Spirit to drink. Spiritual gifts are given when we're placed into the body of Christ. Spiritual gifts are given at the moment of salvation, the instant that you believe. And so, spiritual gifts are birthday gifts, right? You get one on the day that you were born, spiritually. You get a spiritual gift on your spiritual birthday. That's the day you were born again. Mine was on January the 6th, 1976. And so this January the 6th, I'll be 42. So you don't have to know the day necessarily that you were born again, but that's the day that you received your spiritual gifts. The baptism with the Spirit is the act of God whereby we're placed into union with Christ, and it happens at the moment of salvation. And every Christian receives their gift or gifts at that same instant and not subsequent to it. And we talked about that last time. Now, undoubtedly, some of you will think, well, you know, I don't have any spiritual gifts. I can't tell you how many times. Well, you know, I don't have any spiritual gifts. Well, there are only two possible answers for that, and we talked about that before. Either you just haven't discovered your gifts yet, or you're not saved, okay? That's the only two possibilities, because every born-again believer is gifted by the Holy Spirit. So for most of you, it'll be the first of those two choices. You're saved, you just never discovered or developed your spiritual gift. But there may be some of you who really don't have any spiritual gifts because you've never been baptized by the Spirit, placed into the body of Christ, and even though you come to church, you're separated from Christ by your sin and an unrepentant heart. Well, you know, if you recognize that, then you need to do something about it and trust the Lord Jesus Christ. All right, now, the major sections that we've seen. Number one, we saw the division of the gifts, all right? Number two, we saw the description of the gifts. That's what we've been talking about. Number three, let's go to that. Number three is the design of the gifts. That is why God gave the gifts. We've already mentioned the answer to that, that they are service gifts. They're for service to Christ and to the church. But I want you to notice as we continue looking at this text, three additional reasons. Number one, or A, maybe on your outline, I think it is, he gave them for cooperation. All right? He gave them for cooperation. Now look in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, and let's read verses 12 through 14. 1 Corinthians 12. Beginning with verse 12, the body is a unit, though it is made up of many parts, and though all its parts are many, they form one body. So it is with Christ. For we were all baptized by one Spirit into one body, whether Jews or Greeks, slave or free, we were all given the one Spirit to drink. Now the body is not made up of one part, but of many. Now, to understand this, we need to first understand the concept of the church as the body of Christ. What is that all about? What's that talking about? Well, look there in 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 27. 1 Corinthians 12, 27, Paul says, "Now you are the body of Christ, and each one of you is a part of it." Now, what does that mean? Well, when here on earth, in the flesh, Christ ministered with a physical body. But now in heaven, he still ministers on the earth through us, through the church. We function as his body to minister in the world. We are his hands to work. We are his feet to walk. We are his voice to talk and to proclaim the word of God. And so when a pastor stands up and he preaches or teaches from the word of God, he is the voice of Christ serving with the gifts that God gave him for that purpose, all right? And when a person with the gift of mercy or the gift of service ministers to those who are hurting in some way or works behind the scenes for the glory of God and the benefit of the body, they are the heart and the hands of Christ using gifts that God has imparted to them. And as individual members, we need each other, all right? The hand feeds the mouth to nourish the body because no one has all the gifts. Nobody has all the spiritual gifts. That would defeat the purpose of making us dependent on one another, and that's part of the reason for the gifts. I need you. I need you, and you need me because you have some gifts that I don't have, and I have some gifts that you don't have, and so we need one another. Every Christian is an irreplaceable member of the body, an individual, unique. There is no one exactly like you. Now, I really want to nail that down. I want you to understand that. The body of Christ, the church, is different than any other organization. Remember what I was saying about the officer a while ago who wanted to have a separate class from the enlisted men? No. When you come in the church, the ground is level. And it bothers me when I hear Christians talking about other Christians over petty issues and stuff. That's not who we are. We are a unit. We are a body. And we need one another. Every Christian is an irreplaceable member of the body. And there's no one that is equipped just like you. Now, I used to wonder about that. Because I thought, well, there are only so many gifts. And there are so many people, surely someone has to have the same gifts as someone else. And then I discovered something. I discovered that not only do the gifts differ in function, but they also differ in measure. Did you know that? That is that God not only gives different gifts, but he also gives them to a different degree or in a different measure to various individuals. Look in Romans chapter 12 for just a minute. Keep your finger there in 1 Corinthians 12 and look over in Romans chapter 12 and look with me there in verse 3. Romans chapter 12 and verse 3. Romans chapter 12 and verse 3. Again, Paul writing here. He says, by the grace given me, I say to every one of you, do not think of yourself more highly than you ought, but rather think of yourself with sober judgment in accordance with the measure of faith that God has given you. Faith is one of the spiritual gifts. Now, look in Ephesians chapter 4 for just a minute. Ephesians chapter 4, and I want you to notice what he writes there. Ephesians chapter 4, and look with me in verse 7. Ephesians 4, 7, he writes, but to each one of us, grace has been given as Christ has apportioned it. The King James reads like this, but unto every one of us is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. So what does that mean? Well, someone may have exactly the same spiritual gifts that I have, but no one has them in the same proportion as I do, all right? Or as you do. And so every Christian is a spiritual fingerprint. Let that sink in for just a little bit. God has designed you. God has made you. God has gifted you as a unique individual. No one is like you. I don't know how God measures spiritual gifts, okay? I don't know what kind of unit of measure that he uses, all right? He didn't tell us. And so what I want to do for the sake of the illustration is to use something that is familiar to us. Let's use percentage, okay? And so let's suppose that Harvey and Cy both have the same gifts. And just for the sake of this illustration, let's say that they both have the gift of giving and the gift of faith, and we'll throw another one in there, the gift of wisdom. All right, they're wise guys. Now, how can it be said that if they have exactly the same spiritual gifts, how can it be said that they have differing gifts? Well, because let's say, just to use percentage as a unit of measure here for the sake of our finite understanding, that, let's say, Harvey has 25% of the gift of giving and 25% of the gift of faith and 50% of the gift of wisdom. Now, while Cy has those same gifts exactly, Cy has 20% of the gift of giving and 65% of the gift of faith and 15% of the gift of wisdom. All right. Now, again, we don't understand God's unit of measure, how he measures. We don't know how God measures spiritual gifts. But however it is, you can see that by giving us gifts to varying measure, it's possible for every believer to be gifted differently, even with a limited number of gifts. And the Bible is very clear that God gives us gifts by measure. Now, also, something else I want you to understand is that every gift is equally as important as the other. Okay? You know, that was the thing that was going on with the Corinthians. They thought, we want the important gifts. We want the gift of tongues. We want to be able to speak in another language. Or we want the gift of prophecy. We want these outward gifts. The problem is, those gifts are not any more important than the other gifts. Look in 1 Corinthians chapter 12 again, and begin with me in verse 15. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, and begin with verse 15. If the foot should say, because I'm not a hand, I do not belong to the body, it would not for that reason cease to be a part of the body. And if the ear should say, because I'm not an eye, I do not belong to the body, it would not for that reason cease to be a part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would the sense of hearing be? If the whole body were an ear, where would the sense of smell be? But in fact, God has arranged the parts in the body, every one of them, just as he wanted them to be. There it is again, the sovereign gifts. If they were all one part, where would the body be? As it is, there are many parts, but one body. The eye cannot say to the hand, I do not need you. And the head cannot say to the feet, I don't need you. On the contrary, those parts of the body that seem to be weaker are indispensable. Let's say there's a football team out there, and they have to have 22 members at least. I mean, there's a lot more on there, but they have to have 11 on offense and 11 on defense. Well, what if you had a football team and they had the right number of players, but they were all quarterbacks? Well, you say, well, that wouldn't work very good because there wouldn't be any receivers. There wouldn't be any blockers, or, you know, there wouldn't be any of that. It wouldn't work. Why? Because, listen, because every player is important in their own position, right? Every player is necessary to do what that player does. Even the ones who don't get a lot of glory, like the nose tackle or the long snapper. Who's the long snapper for the Kansas City Chiefs? Well, I don't know. Who knows that? In the same way, even the unseen parts of the body play an important role. Look in chapter 12, verse 23. And the parts that we think are less honorable, we treat with special honor. And the parts that are unpresentable, we treat with special modesty. You know, when we think of the analogy of spiritual gifts as members of the body, we usually think of those, you know, think of the outward members such as the hands and the feet and so forth. But we often forget about the internal members like the heart and the brain. Those are members that are not seen, but they are vital to the body. Some of the spiritual gifts are hidden from view, and yet it is these which pump life into the body, life into the church. And those hidden gifts are just as important as those gifts that are visible, okay? And so a lady with the gift of mercy who takes care of the little babies in the nursery is just as important to the body of Christ as the preacher who stands in the pulpit. What a wonderful gift. A man or a woman with the gift of service who cleans out the gutters and nobody even knows about it is just as important as the lady with the gift of leadership who organizes a women's ministry and motivates others to action. All the gifts are important, and they're equally important. Now, how does that play out? Listen, if you're not using your spiritual gifts in the church, then the church is incomplete, all right? We said it's crippled. The church is weakened because you can't be replaced. Well, say, oh, somebody else can do what I do. No, they can't. You know why? Because you're unique. Because you're uniquely gifted. Because you are a spiritual fingerprint. You're one of a kind. Nobody is gifted exactly like you are. And so, again, a better word that goes along with the analogy of the church as the body would be crippled. The church is crippled. If its members are not using their spiritual gifts, the church is crippled. You know, I tell people all the time, you know, I'm just an old crippled fat man. You know, I have an artificial leg, and I'm grateful for it. I'm glad I have it. But you know what? It can't really replace the real thing. Now, I can walk, but there's some things I just can't do. You know, I can't jump. You should see me try to run. I fall down real well. I'm quite good at it, actually. I used to scuba dive, and of course, you know, when you scuba dive, you wear flippers on your feet. And so first time I tried it, after I lost my leg, I swam like this. But, you know, there are much more even sophisticated prosthetics than the one I have. But listen, nothing can replace my real leg, okay? Nothing can replace it. If your gifts are not present and operative in the church, then the church must function with a prosthetic. The church must function with an artificial member. You know, someone else may be able to do the job that God gifted you to do, but no one will ever be able to do it as effectively as you. Why is that? Well, because the hand can't do the job of the foot, right? You know, I might have been able when I was younger to learn to walk on my hands for a little ways, but no matter how good I got at it, there's some things I could never do. I could never go on a 5-mile hike, or, you know, I could never, you know, go hunting on uneven terrain. I could never compete in a foot race, you know, walking on my hands, because a hand can't do what a foot can do. An eye can't do the job of an ear. The liver can't do the job of the heart. If one member is absent, the whole body suffers. If one member is absent, the whole body is weakened. You know why most churches are weak and ineffective and having very little impact on the world or on their community? Well, it's because a lot of members are not using their spiritual gifts, the gifts that God gave them, and so others are trying to use their own gifts to serve, and at the same time, trying to be an artificial limb in the church. See? Trying to do the job of someone who's gifted to serve in that capacity and should be doing it, but are not. If you're a Christian, you have an obligation to the body to discover and to develop and to devote the God-given gifts, to benefit the body. Now, I said we're talking about cooperation. God gave us spiritual gifts for cooperation, but he also gave us spiritual gifts for compassion. Look in 1 Corinthians chapter 12 again, look in verse 26. 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 26. If one part suffers, every part suffers with it. If one part is honored, every part rejoices with it. See, this is true empathy. When one member hurts, the whole body hurts. When one member rejoices, the whole body rejoices. And our love for one another motivates us to use the gifts that God has given us. Jesus said, no man hates his body. What does that mean? Well, people don't usually intentionally hurt themselves. You know, when was the last time, you know, you got up in the morning and you said, you know, I think I'll just cause myself some serious injury today? You just don't do that. See, why don't you do that? Well, because we're not programmed for that. We're not programmed for pain, but for preservation and protection. And because of that, we do all that we can to build ourselves up and to strengthen ourselves. And that's how the church is supposed to operate. And so that one wasn't as long as the first one. All right, now the third one. This is the last one. Not only did he give us spiritual gifts for cooperation, not only did he give us spiritual gifts for compassion, but he also gave them for continuation. And again, It is through us that the Lord Jesus continues to minister on the earth. And without you, his ministry is incomplete. Boy, what a tremendous responsibility that places on us as believers. Without us, without you, uniquely gifted as you are, the ministry of Christ on earth is incomplete. And I want to challenge you to discover and develop and display your spiritual gifts. And you say, well, how can I do that? How can I do that? Well, we may talk more about that, whether it's right away or a little bit later. But the first thing to do is just find something that needs to be done and do it. Find something that needs to be done and do it. My wife used to tell our kids that all the time. Take initiative. See what you're good at. And find out what brings blessing and joy into your heart and to the body. Because most of the time, when you find what you're gifted at, it's going to be something that does those two things. Blesses you, blesses the body. And then ask somebody. You know, because sometimes other people have observed you and they see God's giftedness in you. And there's some of you I could at least take a guess, because I've seen God operating in you, and others can as well. But just get busy serving the Lord and ask God to show you your gifts. Don't waste the resources for service that God has supplied. Ecclesiastes chapter 9, verse 10, we'll close with this. Whatever your hand finds to do, do it with all your might.